Okay. Well, this our great club. I'm here substituting for Dr. Gibbs, and he told me we should begin at Matthew 7, verse 21. So that's my plan. Okay. Did you already cover that?
Nope.
Okay. No, that is us. We did.
Okay, so we're still, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount. The verse 21 begins, "Upas halegon moi." Now, the pas article participle construction should be familiar to you by now. It's simply everyone who does whatever the action of the participle is. But it, I think, deserves a little care here with the "oo" to make sure we know what's being negatived, as Robertson says. So the negative particle gives a negative force to whatever follows it. So here it's especially the pas then that's being made negative. So not everyone who says to me, and it's important, we'll just jump ahead a little bit here to realize the difference the sentence would have if you move the "oo" back to a position right in front of the verb. Then you would have pas halegon moi uk asa lusitai. Then it would be everyone who says this to me will not enter.
Yeah.
So here it's quite a different statement, and I think in English a lot of people have lost the distinction between those two ideas. So this doesn't mean that if you say, "Lord, Lord," you will not enter. But it means that saying "Lord, Lord" doesn't guarantee that you will. So not everyone who says this will enter. But of course, it leaves open the possibility that some who say that will. So you don't have to be afraid to start your prayers, "Lord, Lord." But you should pay attention to what follows here. And not be feeling too secure that just because your prayer said that, you will enter. Okay. So not everyone who says to me, and the moi there, simply the dative, common use with lego, you say something to someone, the to someone is in the dative. So kyrie, kyrie, that's the vocative, and again, Lord is one of the words we commonly see in the vocative case in the New Testament. Some will suggest that it's repeated to make it more solemn, suggesting that this isn't just a greeting, but a solemn plea or request. So not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," eis elusitai from eis erchomai, and hopefully by now you've come to recognize those very irregular forms for erchomai. This is the future third person singular with pas then as the subject. So everyone, whoever it is, who says this, he will enter. And of course, here it's made negative. So eis elusitai eis, you see this is a common pattern as well, that the prepositional prefix on the verb has been repeated or supported by the preposition itself, much the way we say enter into, which is a little bit redundant perhaps, but certainly makes the point clear. So he will enter into tain basileon ton urenon. And of course we don't have time to go into the whole theological ramifications of that phrase. I don't know if Dr. Gibbs has done that with you in here or not. Certainly his commentary and others can help show you how important that phrase is for Matthew. What's important here, though, I think, is to remember that basileon isn't primarily talking about a place. So even though we have language here that sounds like you're entering something, like walking through the gates, it's really, and Bedeg reminds you of this too, more entering into a state or a condition. And in fact, they suggest a translation to share in something or come to enjoy something. So it's not that you make it through the gates before they close, but that then the person who enters the kingdom has a share in all that the kingdom means, this activity of God, or enjoys himself or herself this action of God. Okay, so then, verse 21, the first half, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And in Allah, we would expect a contrast here. So if not everyone who does this will enter, then who will enter? And you'll see the entering part is simply assumed here. But ha poyon ta thelema tu patrasmu tu entois uranois. So not everyone who says, but the one who does, and ta thelema, the will, that is what God wants. And here, not just the will of God in general, but the will of tu patrasmu, of my Father, tu entois uranois, the one in the heavens. Well, 2 points. First, this should remind you of the language of the Lord's Prayer, which I think just looked at recently. It has the same pattern there, except there it's Our Father, but tu entois uranois. Second thing to note is this is the first place in Matthew where Jesus speaks of my Father. So he has mentioned God as the Father of his hearers, but now he makes a very specific. And most people think that that's because he is now beginning to speak of himself as the Father's designated representative, especially in the final judgment. And that's really what we're talking about with enjoying the kingdom. Who will enjoy that on the last day? And that becomes more clear than when we move into the next verse. So, verse 22, paloi, remember from palis, with the singular has, in the singular masculine has the one lambda, so when you look it up, you have to remember how do you spell it in the masculine singular nominative. Then in the plural forms, it doubles up. Here, used as really a substantive, meaning many people. Erusin is the future of, and this is a little confusing to me even. I'm not sure why the DAG does it this way, but they'll list this under apon, and so they've split up the forms that used to be all under lego. So apon and then the future and the other forms off of that arrow stem are all under apon, but simply, many will say, and then moi, to me. Okay, then, en ekene te hemera. Here you have en designating this point of time, and so we usually translate it on that day. Okay, kyrie, kyrie, again repeated, so picking up the theme from verse 21. So many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Now what follows is it's really a series of questions, but it's punctuated as one long question with three parts. U to so onamati e prophetousamen. Let's treat that as one question. So the first thing is to remember with a u in a question expects what kind of answer?
No.
That's a positive
answer.
Yes.
Oh, positive.
Yes. It reverses sort of the way you say it, but it's really, is this not true that? And you say, yes, this is true. So, isn't it true that to anamati, what kind of dative? It would seem rather obvious that this is a dative of means or depending on whether you want to call it an object or not. But the Davies and Allison commentary has a fairly long discussion that's mostly generated by the false prophets who come in his name in chapter 24, and they finally conclude that the two phrases must not be used in exactly parallel ways, because in the 24 they seem, when they say in his, many will come in my name, they seem to be representing themselves as Jesus who has returned, and that's not what's going on here. So this seems to be simply a means by your name, that is, by your authority. So, isn't it true that we prophesied? We spoke, as Bedag says, inspired revelations by the power of your name. And to so, oh, excuse me, I guess we forgot the so. this is not the personal pronoun, but the possessive pronoun, or as we used to, were taught to call them, the possessive adjective. Sos, se, son. And these possessive adjectives don't appear very frequently in the New Testament, but they do show up. So you do have to keep them straight. And the thing I think is helpful about thinking of them as adjectives, which is how they often function, is that they have the same sort of adjective style endings. So they, in and of themselves, express possession. So they don't always show up in the genitive case the way the pronoun does. So if you look up back in verse 21, you have tu patras mu. That's really the father of me. Now in English we use the adjective my father more commonly. But here it's really to so onamati, which would be your name rather than the pronoun form, the name of you. Now in force, they're practically equivalents. In classical Greek, some say that adjectives had a little more emphasis. That is your name and not someone else's name. And you can probably see some of that here. But let's see. BDF says that these are becoming rare in Hellenistic Greek in general, and that's true in the New Testament as well. The plural forms, hemeteros or humeteros, appear only about 9 times each in the whole New Testament. Emos, which is the first person singular form, is frequent in John, but otherwise not very frequent. And this form, the second person singular, sos, outside the Gospel and Acts, occurs only 3 times in Paul. So they're easy to use once you remember that they work like adjectives, so they match in number and case the noun that they're with. Okay. So then, let's see, where are we? And to so onamati daimonia ex balomen. And is it not true that by your name or by your authority we cast out demons? They're just the ek balo in the aorist. And notice that all 3 verbs are aorists here, just pointing to the simple fact, isn't this true that we did this? And then the final question, kai to so onamati dynames polas epoiesamen. And is it not true that by your name we worked or did polas dynames, many powerful deeds or actions that express power, mighty acts? And of course that's the typical word for miracle in Matthew especially. And I think it's worth remembering that the emphasis there is not the same as the English miracle, which points more to the strangeness, the wonder of something. But here it's that these actions are an expression of power, and of course, in especially in Jesus' case, an expression of the power of God. Okay. So, many will say these things to Jesus on the last day, addressing him as Lord, expecting him to say, yes, this is true. And the fact that that is true is not denied. But in verse 23, we have the unexpected response that Jesus will give. Kai tote. Tote is a correlative adverb of time. Here it's used not so much in the classical sense of pointing to a specific time, but simply indicating what will come next in the narrative, in the sequence. So after this, and then, or and next, homologeso. Probably familiar with this word from homologeo, but here it seems to be used in a somewhat different way. To add just a brief note here, I often have students coming to me from Dr. Feuerhahn's classes saying, we know it means, what is it, same say? Is that the way he translates it? If you look in Bedag, it actually suggests the etymology is homologos, meaning of one mind. So it's really thinking the same thing before you're saying the same thing. But here it's more acknowledging something outwardly in public, not so much a confession of a common belief, but making your thoughts clear or openly known. Bedag says, I will say to them plainly. I hadn't thought too much about why this particular verb is used here until I was getting ready for our meeting today. The idea came to me that perhaps it's saying that they know this all along too, but they're hoping it won't be made public. I don't know if that's putting too much onto the word or not. It'd be interesting to see how this is used in other places. But, okay. And then, after they've said these things, I will say plainly, autois, to them, hoti, here, I can see is going to be followed by discourse. And it's really direct discourse here, you can tell by the humas. So it's not, I say that I did not know them, but I say, comma, quotation mark, udepote egnon humas. Those words have kind of a frightening, booming echo sound to them. Udepote means never, there was not a time when. Egnon, this is the aorist of gnosko. Remember, it has that, I think Dr. Veltz calls it an ancient aorist, a second aorist form. And here, not just that I sort of saw you and knew who you were, but that I acknowledged our relationship, that kind of knowing. And then humas, you plural. Now, it's interesting, Bedag, in that glossing switches this to a perfect. But I think the force of the aorist is still significant here, that they've said, isn't it true that we did this thing? Not many, how many times or how long we were doing it, but that this happened. And here, I think, aorist answers to aorist. There was no time, sort of, during all this, that I recognized you as mine. I think it has that sort of force here. And that's why I think its notion is provocative, that perhaps the homologeso is saying they realized this too. Now even more terrifying words coming from the mouth of Jesus, apokorete op emu. From apokoreo to really just to put a distance between you and me, but here in a stronger sense of depart, go away, op emu, from me. So it's second person plural, and then explained by the nominative participle there. All you, that is, who ergodzomenoi tain anomion, you who are accomplishing or bringing about anomion, that is, lawlessness or the lawless action. So this is what all your deeds are bringing about, not righteousness, but anomion. Let me pause there and see if any questions or anything I skipped over that you wanted to specifically ask about.
Amalagiso is just future then?
Yes, it's the future indicative. That epsilon contract in there turns to the eta. Okay. Well, I hesitate to start on the next section, but we can do one more verse if you want, or do you want to call it a day?
One more.
Okay, let's do verse 24. We can get you ready then. So here you have, again, a statement with pas, but a slightly different construction following it. Pas un, so everyone, therefore. So there's a connection then, an application of what Jesus has just been saying. Pas hostis, which here is like the Dag says, pleonastic or almost redundant, because the everyone who hears, hears everyone, sort of whoever hears. So you have this double kind of indefinite or inclusive sense. So therefore, everyone akouēs, this simple present, who hears, tus logus tutus, these words, mu, of me, kai poie autus, and does them, homoiothesetai, that one will be like, the future passive of homoiao. This is the common sort of simile word of the parables. And again, I don't know if Dr. Gibbs has talked about tense here or not, but usually the future ones are pointing to something that's going to happen in the final judgment. That this will become clear in the end, not necessarily obvious in this life. So he will be like Andri Phronimo, a man or a person who is wise or prudent, as opposed to a man who is foolish. So he will be like a man who is foolish. Hostis, again, here simply really the equivalent of the relative pronoun hos. So who built autu tain oikion, his house, epitain petron, upon the rock, here in the sense of bedrock, really a sort of a massive rock formation, not a rock like a stone, but a rock in that large sense. So nothing too unusual there. Oikodomeo, another contract verb, but I think you can see the augment changes the omicron yoda to an omega with the yoda subscript, and then you have the usual eta sigma combination there. So we built his house on the rock. And should we do this real quick? Verse 25. Okay. So, and Hoprake, the rain here in the sense of torrential rain, came down from Katabaino. Remember that unusual aorist. Kai Eilfan Hoi Patamoi, and the rivers came. Here, probably, like the Dag says, seasonal torrents, like mountain rivers or rivers that fill up with seasonal rains. So they came, kai epnusan hoi animoi, and the winds blew from pneo, and there we have a, what looks like it should be an epsilon contract, but you have an unusual, both in the future and aorist, with the upsilon added there. So the winds blew, and pros epezon te oikia ekene, and they fell against, or struck against, fell upon that house, kai uk epezen, and it did not fall. So you have pros pipto and pipto sort of played off against each other. They knocked against it, but they didn't knock it down. Tetha meliota gar, for, and this is a pu perfect, even though it doesn't have the augment. Dr. Gibbs has a note that this is not all that uncommon in Koine Greek, that the pluperfects drop the augment, but you can still see the secondary ending there, the tau, the omicron, rather than the otai that you would expect if it were perfect. So it had been founded upon the rock.
The teokia is dated because...
Because of the, let's see, where are we?
Cross episode teokia.
Yeah, because of the sort of striking upon it. Yeah, the verb just takes the dative in the what it's hitting against.